Okay. No, what I was saying is, black teachers and our parents was not occupied every day with telling us or complaining about the segregated system or what white people were doing to them. The primary thing about black teachers at that particular time was education. It was educating us. Okay, no more educating us. And one thing about our parents is that since we were small, we were taught how to get along with each other, plus how to get along in the society at large, and how do you get to where you want to be. It was because there was a segregated society. You was not expected that you were going out of the workplace and going to institutions somewhere and compete head on with white people. I mean, there was no place in the South that you could see it that happened. But as it was getting close to the time of integration, and the society was going to integrate, it was clear that there would be competition. Not necessarily competition between white and black, but just as there's competition between whites. And I was talking about how as the schools integrated, how the white people fired the black people, hired the new incoming white teachers, and then what was left, then they brought in some of the teachers they had fired, the black teachers they had fired. That is a case of white people looking out for their own, looking out for other white people. And that's a fact. And of course, as time went on, where there could not be this blandish discrimination, then it became that the individuals have to compete, particularly for those to get a job. I was led to believe when I was in school that we were behind as far as education was, because of course we didn't have the facilities and the books and all this kind of stuff. But then when I went into the military, where I was competing directly with other whites, I found that was not the case. But then from that transition between segregation to integration, we lost something. Like for instance, last year I worked in the school system as a counselor for William students. Do you know what William students are? You know? Yeah, explain to me. So I looked at the school and said, well, okay, what did we lose? Number one, I noticed that there aren't very many blacks in public education. I'm sorry to say that. I don't know whether it's money or what, but there aren't very many blacks in public education, especially in counties. So what black children have in the school system is white teachers, white administrators. What we lost is, during segregation, is black teachers who lived in the community, in our community, who knew the students individually, knew their parents, lived in the community, went to the same churches. Also, teachers were looked up to and more respected because they were professionals living within the black community. They also had high expectations for students. more so now because teachers do not have high expectations of black students. That's a fact. Okay, that we lost. Even though we gained access, equal access to a better education and more facilities and all this, all that, we lost that. Also, the amount of participation in the school system. Like, for instance, in Newbold High School, we know that there were going to be at least 8 girls that were going to become cheerleaders, had the opportunity to become cheerleaders. In the integrated school system, the schools are happy to have 1 black cheerleader on each team, each squad. So that means there are 5 black cheerleaders that would not have the opportunity. Only 3 in the whole county, even though that's 3 schools. You know, because that's the way they on each cheerleading squad, they might have 1, maybe 2 black.
So it's a quota system.
Well, quota system for white people. You see, there are other things. People say, well, okay, we play sports, you know, and all this, and we had opportunity, blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. I think the thing with sports, especially academics, I don't think that have the same requirements for whites and blacks, and I do not believe that. For example, when I was in school, I had to maintain an honor roll to play. I didn't have to maintain, you know, you got to be eligibility, you might even have a C. No, I had to maintain an honor. I had to maintain at least a B average.
Was that a school rule or your parents' rule?
That was my parents' rule. That was the coach's rule. My coach was also my science and math teacher. And like I said, they had high expectations for students. They do not have those expectations for students today.
Students in general?
Students in general and athletes in particular, and specifically black athletes. If you made the expectation higher, they would do better. Because they want to play. But the school's afraid to do that. Because it would be discriminating. You see what I'm saying? It would be discrimination.
What's your reaction to the, I'm sure you've heard about the decision that the U.S. judge put down, and I think it was in Philadelphia, if you know what I'm talking about, with regard to the minimum, I think it's testing for athletes going into college, and he is cited as being discriminatory?
Discriminatory like what? You're talking about SAT scores.
I believe it's SAT.
Yeah, it's SAT scores. They're saying, was it 800 or 600 or something?
I think it's about 750, I think.
Well, any moron can I'm serious. I mean, just put your name on the paper, and if you go down the thing and just mark at random, you should come up with at least 700. I mean, you know. And what did the judge say, that it was discriminatory, that they require?
I believe, I'm not sure about this, but I believe the decision was that to have a minimum score was discriminatory against blacks.
Bull. My reaction is a bunch of bull crap. Oh, sorry.
That's fine.
Yeah. In other words, what they're saying is that black people are not as smart as other people, So therefore, if you want them to play, you cannot use a minimum score on the SAT. That's a bunch of bull. At any rate, it should be higher. It should be higher, for athletes. I mean, for all across the board, you know. And that way you would get the student, the quality academic student, who happens to play sports. Rather than the other way around, whether you got a, you know, and you know, it's kind of strange. Where you have the high expectation, like blacks who play in the play for the academies with West Point, Annapolis, and all that. Kind of strange that, you know, they end up getting black people, black athletes. And they have a, you know, you know what I'm saying? You know, all of this boils down to is, you know, school really doesn't have to use the SAT. Some use the ACT, and some schools doesn't have any standardized test. It's based on your performance, your first semester, what I'm talking about your grade average and stuff, you know, when you're in school. I think this whole thing boils down to is the expectation that blacks are, get back into this other thing, inferior than the white people. It's getting back to that. Because they want to get the schools, actually, what they want to get people who come to school to play sports and not get an education, basically. And that's what that whole thing is about.
Can I ask a question? Do you think, given what you said about the expectations being lowered, do you think integration is worth it?
Integration is worth it. The accident and the fact that not discrimination is worth it, and it's worth it. But what I'm saying is that you cannot gain something without giving up something, is the point I was getting at. Yeah. But ultimately, it depends on the individual student, the individual, and his values and his family background and all this, and eventually depend on that student. And I haven't had trouble competing. My brother, he's a dentist in California. He haven't had any problems, you know, competing. I think this whole thing with sports is that we're getting to the point where we are coming up with professional athletes at a lower level. In other words, professional athletes in college, eventually going to be professional athletes in high school.
It's so people are just molded into being athletes and not.
Right. Athletes. I mean, you're right. We know that all the high school is a farm club for the college and universities, and we know that the college and universities farm club for the pros, and it's emphasis on sports, and it's going to get to the point where we're going to be growing athletes and not students in our schools, and that's basically what I think it is. And it should be higher. The test, you know, the basic test should be higher. So raise expectations. If your focus is education, it should be. Or, and I noticed something else too that white colleges do not do what black colleges did. They do not do remedial courses. In black colleges, if you went there and did not measure up to a, say, to a freshman level worker and stuff like that, you could spend your whole year, your whole freshman year, doing remedial courses. And then you went and, went to white schools don't do that.
Where's your son go to school?
He didn't go anyplace. I mean, other than high school. But this thing about these sports, I mean, this is a bugaboo for me, is that if the emphasis was put on academics and not the sports, I think it'd be better off for the for student athlete.
So do you think that sports dominate schools for everybody now, or are you just talking about student athletes who have already proven themselves to be good athletes and they just let the, upon knowing that, they just let everything else slide? Because I'm just interested, because I don't know if I agree that, again, this is the purpose of our interview, isn't for you and me to debate anything, but like that sports like necessarily govern the entire school, because there's plenty of people that I went to school with who didn't give a crap about sports, you know. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, is Davidson an sports school or an academic school?
It's academic. We like to think that we're a sports school.
Well, Clemson is a sports school. There are some good evidence, you know, you go there and you learn, you can, you know, get a degree in all this. But if you think of Clemson, you think of sports.
How about a Duke, though?
Duke.
Or North Carolina.
Duke is getting to become a sports school. To get an example about the value of the school and where the school is, the Clemson's president makes $156,000 a year. They just hired a football coach at Clemson. He makes $600,000 a year. Plus, he can make deals with Nike and all these other, in other words, he can come up with about $1 million a year. Now, a football coach makes $1 million a year, and the president of the school makes $156,000 a year. Where is the priority? You see. So.
And you're also getting into the financial situation in terms of what brings in.
All right, what brings money into the school? Is it
selling out a football stadium?
So the point is, you know, is it sports or academics? What is the purpose or the mission of a university, of a institution of higher learning? To produce athletes or produce educated individuals? So that's basically this whole thing about this ruling by this judge you're talking about. We want to be able to get the best athletes as opposed to the best students. And it is perceived that a lot of the athletes on the high school level are black, so therefore we want to be able to get the best black, get want to tap that resource, that reservoir. But they don't realize is that they're hurting the student. It defeating the purpose of education.
So what is I guess one of the defenses of like Proposition 48, are you familiar with that? That's, I believe it's the program or whereas students who don't pass the minimum score on SAT or maybe don't have the minimum GPA can come to college, but they can't participate in athletics until their sophomore year. Do you think that's a good program? Because it seems like the idea there is that it gives people who, for whatever reason, haven't excelled in academics in the past a chance to kind of regroup and go at it again. While, I mean, athletics is obviously the ticket.
I don't know. I have nothing to say on that. But the same situation is where a person wants to go to UNCC, going to Carolina, and he doesn't have the SAT to get, so he goes to a junior college or a community college for a year, and then he goes directly into. So once you're a college student in college, you don't need a SAT. So that is a way to get in through the back door. So a lot of people like Spud Webb. You remember Spud Webb? He went to a junior college because he couldn't, you know. And then he, but this, you know, this whole thing can be perverted. But it gets away from the underlying purpose of a school of higher learning. That you are educating individuals, not producing athletes. And when you get to that point, you might as well go ahead and come up and say, okay, let's go pro. Why not pay them? Why not all that money they bring into the school, why not give them some of that money? See, we hypocritical, see. We say we don't have professional athletes, but on the table, cars and jobs and all that kind of stuff, they're getting paid under the table. Why not declare? You know, when I was in England, you know, they don't have varsity sports. The schools don't have varsity sports. They have, in other words, if this was an English school, they wouldn't have a football team. They would have a football team in the community that students from the school play on these various teams, but the school itself, they don't have sports, mm-hmm. varsity sports. That should be the system here.
But is that, are you talking about colleges?
Colleges and high schools. They don't have varsity sports.
And do you think that should be the system for high school?
That should be the system here for high school. And college.
So you would have the Duke Blue Devils, you have a Durham, Raleigh, Durham community.
Right.
You have NC State. And
right. You would have, you would have a club, a couple clubs in Durham. And they restrict it to where they get the students from the high schools in England is they're restricted by age. We have a club here that plays soccer and a club here that plays soccer, and they're restricted to hiring people that's 16 or 17, 18 years under. Then you have another, you can be out of high school and to play on this. But you're in this town where Oxford is, and a lot of the students would be coming from Oxford. Now they have rowing teams and all this kind of stuff, you know. But you have to be a student to be on those teams. But the school itself does not have anything to do with the team itself. It's a club. I think the priorities turn around, man. I'm serious. I mean, it's all twisted.
So based on what you were saying before about at New Bolton, you were expected, and in fact, you had to be on the honor roll in order to play. Do you think the priorities were academics first, athletics?
Of course, and then too, our coaches did not hesitate to throw you off the team if your academics fail. Now, they would try every trick in the book to keep you academically eligible, you know, including taking your test for you and getting your teachers that, you know, all this other kind of stuff, man. And you're always hearing about teams that had to forfeit the year because they let an ineligible player play and all this. You heard that before, you know. The academics didn't come first because, after all, it was a high school. It was a school. And that's something. I don't have the answer for it.
The term student athlete is more like athlete student.
Huh?
The term student athlete doesn't exist in a lot of cases. It's more athlete than student.
That's right. It's especially in those what we call cash sports, football, basketball, and you don't have that problem in other sports because the competition's not there. And the competition's not there is because it doesn't lead to a lot of making a lot of money in pros. Like basketball and football are the big draws. Those are the ones that all the students compete when they start competing when they're little kids playing in the the little pop leagues, they was going to call them, and then going on all of the there's not so much baseball either, but the what we call glamour cash sports, you know. And all it is a farm system. And then and black kids, instead of going to school and going for, say, I'm going to be a doctor, I'm going to be a teacher, I'm going to be something like that, and you go to school where you can have almost 100% success if you stay there, a lot of them pipeline in towards the pros. And in the black community, the weeding out process starts early. He's on the block. He know he's not going to be able to. He's not going to be able to play football or basketball. About time you get to high school, the weeding out process has already started. By the time you get through high school, it's further, and then to college. And in the United States, we got 40 million kids playing basketball. And they are looking forward to 200 jobs. Think about that. 40 million people is trying to get 200 jobs. Is there how many people in the NBA? About 200. And the chance of making it is slim. And once you get there, you only can get, I'm talking about 4 years. And they're looking at this $80 million and $100 million contracts. The average player in the NBA makes about a couple hundred thousand dollars. Like, of course, you got those superstars that make the big money and all that kind of stuff. What happened to get hurt? But you're only talking about 5-6 people out of 40 million people that started out. In other words, you're shooting yourself in the foot by putting emphasis on sports. Because out of the 40 million, there's only going to be one Michael Jordan. But if you go for academics, you're 100% sure. If you if you stay in school and do your work, you're 100% sure.
If you're making the league minimum in the NBA in like 4 years versus being a lawyer
for 60 years. Yeah, for 50 years, working for 50 years, it makes make more money. If money is your thing, And then you hear these stories about athletes who flunk out. I mean, out of sports, out of pros, and can't read and write, and didn't know how to manage their money, and you know something.
We appreciate your time.
Now, anytime you want to use me,
no problem.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.